Good morning. How are you today? Good. Did you have a good Independence Day holiday together? Did you? No? Oh, good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. You'll want to get your outline out so you can follow along with today's message. Our topic today: are science and faith incompatible? Maybe you've run into people, talked with people, or heard people, as I have, say that you have to decide between one or the other. You can't have both. Lots of people will tell you, I don't believe in God, religion, anything supernatural. I only believe in science. You ever heard that? On the other hand, some Christians will tell you, we really don't need science. We don't need any man-made knowledge. I believe only in God's word, not science. But does a choice between one or the other have to be made? Could a person of science, could a scientist, a brilliant scientist who, let's say, teaches in a university, also be a person of strong Christian faith? Jerry Coyne is a professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolution at the University of Chicago. And he says you can't have both. This is what he wrote in an opinion column a couple years ago in USA Today. He said, as a scientist and a former believer, I see the idea that science and religion are compatible as bunk. Science and faith are fundamentally incompatible. And for precisely the same reason that irrationality and rationality are incompatible. They are different forms of inquiry, with only one, science, equipped to find real truth. And while they may have a dialogue, it's not a constructive one. Science helps religion only by disproving its claims, while religion has nothing to add to science. Is he right? Do we have to make a choice between one or the other? There's a new movie out featuring Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss, both very prominent atheists. The movie is called Unbelievers. And as you can see from the ad, they're both walking away from a cross. And this movie champions this view that science and faith are absolutely incompatible. In fact, the position taken in this movie is that the only thing that prudent people should do as far as religion is concerned is ridicule it. It's not even worth discussing. It's so ridiculous, it should just be ridiculed out off of the table. Today is a special message due to the Independence Day weekend. Many people, as you know, are away today on vacation, and also has already been mentioned, the senior high and adult leaders with them are away on the mission trip to Red Lake Indian Reservation in Minnesota. And so on Sundays like this, when there are so many people away, holiday weekends, that sort of thing, I like to do something different, something special, so that the people who are away don't miss the regular series that's going on. And so that the people who show up are not punished with a rerun or something like that, but get something special. So it's a win-win for everybody. Now, just to be clear, I think, all of you who know me know that I'm not a scientist by any means. I'm a pastor. My field of study is the Bible and theology. What I'm up here today to do is to address this whole issue. How should Christians who believe in the authority of God's Word respond to today's question? Are science and faith incompatible? And I would like to suggest, as I've wrapped it up in the main idea, that they are compatible. The one thing that you should remember today from everything that I say can be boiled down into this one sentence. Christianity and science are inherently, that might not be a word you use very often, but I needed it today. I know it's kind of a nerdy sounding word, inherently, but I needed it. I could not find a better word. Trust me, I looked. Inherently well matched. In other words, not only can they coexist, but they do so naturally. They actually complement one another. Let's look today at four reasons why science and Christianity are compatible. The first is point number one on your outline, and that is all truth is God's truth. When Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, the governor asked him, "What is truth?" What is truth? Great question, Governor. The only trouble is he didn't stay around to listen to Jesus' answer. It says that he just walked out after he asked that question, as though it had no answer. What is truth? How do we know something is true versus false? Well, there are a lot of different tests that people apply to things to determine that. What works? Is that a good test of truth? It works, it must be true. Or what feels good? Or what most people believe? Or what's true for me? Might not be true for you, but it's true for me. Now, I've spent whole messages on this whole issue here. But just to summarize, none of those things is a good test for truth. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. That's a good thing to write down. Truth is what corresponds to reality. 2 + 2 = 4 is true not because it feels good, not because, just because it works, and not because everyone agrees with it, not because of some opinion poll. It's true because it's reality, whether anybody agrees with it or not. Was the earth round when everyone believed that it was flat, or was it still round back then? Obviously, popular opinion does not determine whether or not something is true. From the Christian viewpoint, God is the ultimate reality. And therefore, all truth is derived ultimately from Him. 2 + 2 = 4. The world is round. George Washington was the first president of the United States. Are those things any less true than anything that's in the Bible? Well, of course, they're all true. It's not as though God has his little box of truth and the world has its little box of truth and the devil has his box of truth. No. God is the source of all truth, and it doesn't matter if it's a Christian who discovers it, or a Buddhist, or an agnostic, or an atheist. It all comes out of God's big box of truth. Now, if that is true, Christians should never be afraid of truth. We should never be afraid to discover more about the natural world, about biology, or astronomy, or archaeology, or geology, or zoology, or any other field of study. All truth is God's truth. This is a basic biblical principle. Let's look at a second reason why science and Christianity are compatible. Number two, the universe is God's artwork. This is artwork. An art critic can look at a masterpiece and can tell you who the artist was. Because, and even if he doesn't know the painting, he can look at the style, the technique. He can look at the way it was created, and he can see the technique of a great artist. The biblical view of the universe is that it reflects God's artistry. Look at Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, and help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The sky display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known." Science arose in the Western world in the past few hundred years. But why did it arise here and not in some other culture? Well, I believe one of the fundamental reasons why is because of the belief that God created the universe. In the Judeo-Christian worldview, the universe is a creation. It is a work of skill, of design, of art. And art is worth studying in detail. That's why we build art museums. That's why we have classes on art and music appreciation and all that kind of thing. That's why artists in training study the great masters to see how they did it, to study their technique, to see the message in the masterpiece. But what if your worldview says that all of reality is ultimately an illusion? There are some Eastern worldviews that say precisely that, that all of reality is an illusion. Well, if you really believed that, why would you study the universe? It's nothing but a big illusion. Instead, you would introspect and go into yourself and ignore the world around you. That explains why it didn't arise in those kind of cultures, the scientific approach. The ancient Greeks weren't prompted to perform scientific experiments. They believed that the physical universe was evil, that matter was evil. And so it was defective. And so they would reason about things because the soul was good, but the universe was evil. And so that's why they became rationalists and did not perform scientific experiments. Now, the atheistic worldview, what does that say about the universe? It says that it's not the product of an intelligent designer, but it's a random accident, you might say, like an explosion in a junkyard. Why study that? Now, of course, there are many atheists who are scientists, but I do not think that science would have ever arisen in an atheistic culture. It wouldn't have been given birth there. It was given birth in the Judeo-Christian culture. And that's why a Christian has a superior reason to study science, because the universe reflects a superior intelligence. And you can truly learn more by studying his artwork. Christian, you have the best reason in the world to study science and to encourage your kids or your grandkids to become scientists one day, because the universe is the greatest work of art ever. Let's look at a third reason why science and Christianity are compatible. And that is that many scientists are believers. Many of the first modern scientists were devout believers in the Judeo-Christian God, the Creator, like Galileo, Blaise Pascal, Michael Faraday, Robert Boyle, Johannes Kepler, and Sir Isaac Newton, just to name a very few. You say, well, that was a long time ago. What about now? Aren't most scientists today atheists? Well, it's definitely true that there are far more unbelievers among scientists than in the general public. According to a 2009 Pew Research poll, 41% of American scientists believe there is no God, there is no universal higher power, we're just alone in the universe. But only 4% of the general public believes that there is no God or universal higher power. And so there is a huge difference there between what the general public believes and what the scientific community thinks on this subject. And yet, even here, we see that it's not simply true that most scientists are atheists. 41% is not most scientists. 95% of Americans believe in a God or some sort of a deity, universal higher power. But only 51% of American scientists believe in a God or a universal higher power. Now, true, there's a big difference between scientists and the general public. But once again, notice that most scientists do believe, most of them do believe in some sort of a God. What's fascinating to me is that this is really nothing new. The classic myth is that the more and more scientific discoveries that come, people are less and less inclined to believe in God, that it's just wearing it away, and eventually there'll be no scientists who believe in God. But this is really not the case. 100 years ago, a similar poll was taken of U.S. scientists. Back in 1914, almost 100 years ago, a survey of U.S. scientists revealed that 42% of these scientists believed in a personal God and 42% did not. And a recent survey of scientists show that the same is roughly the case today. Thus, all the advances in science in the last 100 years have not altered belief in God. But maybe you're thinking, yeah, but why do so many scientists not believe in God, so many more than in the general population? Well, that's a good question. My guess is, my hunch is, that it has nothing to do with science per se, and much more to do with the philosophical assumptions that so often accompany scientific talk. Most scientists know very little about theology, about philosophy, and metaphysics. It is not their field of study. But they assume a naturalistic philosophy because it's so prevalent in the scientific community, and then they apply it to their outlook on science. But such a scientist is no more competent to talk about the existence of God than, say, a professional basketball player, or a golfer, or the person who works at the Wendy's across the street. It's not their field of study. In fact, some of the stuff that has come out, published by the New Atheists, is just incredibly philosophically naive. Even atheist philosophers will tell you that. Nevertheless, some of the top scientists in the world believe in God. George Ellis, for example, is one of the leading cosmologists in the world. And he is a believer in God. Christopher Isham is Britain's leading quantum cosmologist. Cosmologist. And he's also a practicing Christian. Alan Sandage, recently deceased, was one of the top astronomers. He became a vocal defender of Christianity. Francis Collins is a world-renowned geneticist who argues that science and Christianity do not conflict. Collins' New York Times best-selling book was called The Language of God, A Scientist Presents Evidence for Belief. Now, in the scientific community, Christians are well represented. And we're not just talking about, you know, your run-of-the-mill garden variety of scientists. We're talking about people here who are leaders in their field. Some of the top in the world in their field, and there are many others. Let's look at a fourth reason why science and Christianity are compatible, and that is nature testifies to a designer. Nature testifies to a designer. As I mentioned earlier, I am not a scientist, but many scientists have argued, and I believe they've argued persuasively, that nature itself testifies to a designer who transcends the universe. And I would like you now to see this 13-minute video clip from a DVD called The Case for the Creator. And so why don't we roll the tape, just sit back and enjoy the show. What is going on? Too small for us to see with the human eye. All of that is going on. David said in the Bible, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Nature has the fingerprints of a designer, a great creator. We're going to close our service here. I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward. But I just want to close. I'd like to keep your attention, however, while they're assembling, to just what our response to this should be. How do we respond to this, what we've been talking about today? First of all, encourage the pursuit of science with your kids, with your grandkids. Encourage them to be good in science, and if they sense the leading to go into the area of science as a career. We need strong, committed Christians who are also great scientists. Secondly, become informed. Become informed. You may be a layperson, not a scientist, that's not your field of study, like me, but you can still become informed. There are lots of good resources, and folks, there's a lot of stuff published by Christians that is not good science. I recommend these two websites up here. Whoops, they're a little hard to see. Reasons.org, that's what that first one is, if it's hard for you to read, reasons.org. And the other one, even harder to read, is reasonablefaith.org, reasonablefaith.org. There are all kinds of great resources on those websites that will help you. Next, and finally, we need to communicate with respect and with humility with people that disagree with us. Scripture instructs us always to be respectful when dialoguing with critics and skeptics. Do your homework, speak up, but be respectful. All right? Let's bow for prayer. We're going to have our offering today. And when the service concludes, if you would like some spiritual counsel or somebody to pray for you, I invite you to come up here and talk and pray with our pastoral prayer team. Or if you'd just like to talk to God on your own, come on over to this side of the stage. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God of all truth. You are the grand designer, the architect, the builder of the universe. And Lord, we are mere mortals who gaze in wonder at what you have created. I pray, Father, that what we have learned today would inspire us to become good students, to work hard, to learn, and to do our homework in such a way that we can present the case with respect and with gentleness and humility and persuasiveness. Father, thank you for what you have given us, and as we give you our tithes and offerings, may it be an act of worship. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.